Can you place a value on your life? It's priceless. Can you place a value on your eternity? It's invaluable. Can you place a value on forgiveness? It's unfathomable. Can you place a value on being with God? It's incalculable.
Loving God, connecting with people, and impacting the world. This is Connections, a time of proclaiming God's Word at Wallace Memorial Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Join us as we share a message just for you from God's Word.
When I was growing up, the place to be on Friday night was Blockbuster Video. That was the place where you would go to rent for 2 days a VHS tape, right? Most kids around, they don't have no idea what a VHS tape is. That's kind of gone the way of the 8-track and the dinosaur. But when I was growing up, that's what we would go to rent at Blockbuster Video. And so you would go and you would see all the VHS tapes there on the shelf, and you would select which one you want, and there would be this sticker on it that said to be kind, rewind, right? When you were done with the tape, you were supposed to rewind it so that the next person wouldn't have to rewind it when they went home with their video. And so in 2000, the year 2000, before Blockbuster sort of went belly up, they had an opportunity to purchase this up-and-coming new company called Netflix for $50 million. They looked at this, they didn't think it was a good idea, and they passed on it. That was a bad idea, right? Because today, Blockbuster Video has one store that's still open, and Netflix is worth $172 billion now. So there was this valuable company that was right there in front of them, but they didn't see it. They didn't see the worth. They didn't see the value of what they had before them. And it reminds me of our story today. We're doing a series throughout this summer called Storyteller, where we're looking at all the parables in Matthew's gospel that Jesus would tell to the audience to explain to them what his kingdom was about, to explain to them what it meant to follow after him. And today we come to a story that we call the parable. It's actually two stories that are linked together, the parables of the treasure and of the pearl. And so if you have your Bibles open, I'd ask that you stand in honor of the reading of God's word if you are able. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. The word of God says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." Thank you. You may be seated. As we consider these stories today, I want you to be thinking in your mind and in your heart, what is Jesus telling me today? What is he teaching me about my life and about what it means to be a part of his kingdom? And the first thing that we can learn from these stories today is the value of the treasure. Because what the people find in each of these stories is of great value. And that's really the point of the parable. That it's what's glaring in the story is that what they find is of tremendous worth. In verse 44, he says that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's buried in a field. It's a treasure. That's something that's of great worth, right? And so in the first century, in these days that Jesus is telling these stories, they didn't just run down to the savings bank or, you know, a place where you could store money. And so what people often did is what they used to do back in the old days here. They'd bury it under their mattress or put it in the cookie jar or put it in a coffee can in the backyard or whatever. And that's what they would do. They would save up money for a special occasion like a dowry for a wedding or a big purchase of land that they wanted to make. And they would store it in a jar and they would bury it somewhere in a field in their property or somewhere that only they knew about so that thieves and robbers wouldn't come and take the treasure. And so in the story here, it says that this man comes up upon this treasure and he decides that it's of such great value that he would be willing to sell everything that he had to purchase the field so that he would have this treasure. Verses 45 and 46, we find the second story where it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who's in search of fine pearls. And when he found one priceless pearl. And so in the second story, you have a merchant who is seeking out fine jewelry. He wants to go and find this special sort of expensive pearl, this jewelry. But what he finds here, he says, is priceless. It's even more valuable. It's of greater worth than he had even imagined or what he was even hoping for. He says that it's priceless. And he decides that it's of such great value that he'd be willing to sell everything that he had to buy it. And we have to remember that in both of these stories, Jesus is comparing this to what his kingdom is like. He says, this is the kingdom of heaven is like this. And so sometimes people may, you know, ask the question, well, you can't buy your salvation or earn it or in any way. So, I mean, that's surely not what he's talking about here. And I would say, I totally agree with you. The consensus of Scripture from beginning to end says that we can't purchase our salvation. We can't do anything to earn our salvation. But I don't think that's at all what Jesus is saying. He's telling a story to make a point. And the point is this, that it's very valuable. That's the point of the story. It's very clear. It's obvious as you look at it that the kingdom of heaven, he says, is like a priceless treasure that's of great value. That's what he's wanting to communicate here. And you say, well, what is it worth? What's heaven worth? When you look through the Bible, there's sort of all sorts of comparisons that are made throughout its pages. For example, in Psalm 19, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. They're more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold. Sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. He says they're greater than an abundance of pure gold. In Psalm 119, in verses 127 and 128, he says, since I love your commands more than gold, even the purest gold, I carefully follow all your precepts and hate every false way. And so in both of these examples, he's saying that the most valuable metal there, of gold, even the purest gold, he says, if you had an abundance of that, this is worth more than that. In fact, Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 19, 29, that everybody who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields because of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. And so what the Bible teaches us is that this kingdom that Jesus was presenting to the people is worth far more than they could ever imagine. Now, when you go to sign a contract for a mortgage on a home, the bank will send out an assessor to do an estimate on the property, right? They'll go to the house and they'll look at the square footage of the house. They'll look at all the furnishings of the house and the properties, how much property there is and what sort of features are in the property. They'll look at comparable houses that have been sold on the market in recent times. And they do all this to determine if the house should be valued at the price of the loan that the bank is giving, right? They're trying to see if it's valuable enough to loan you this amount of money. And the consensus throughout the Word of God is that this kingdom that we're talking about today is of the greatest value. That there is not anything that's like it. That this sort of opportunity here, you need to seize upon it while you can. That this is of the greatest worth, far greater than you could ever imagine. And so why is this treasure of such great value? Because when you understand what salvation is, and when you understand the enormity of the gospel, then you see that this treasure is invaluable and beyond compare. When you begin to consider how we were hopeless in our sins, how we were dead in our trespasses, with no way to earn our salvation, with no way to be good enough, with no way to march our way back to God, that we were enslaved to sin and that we were sentenced to death because the wages of our sin is death, that we were headed toward an eternity apart from God in hell with Satan and with all of his minions. That's where we were when God loved us, even when we were far from him, and he sent his very own son Jesus to die on the cross and to pay the price for our sins when he shed his blood, and he was placed in the grave but rose on the third day so that we could have life and salvation. When you understand the weight of this good news, you realize that it is of far greater worth than you could ever imagine, that it's worth anything. And he offers this salvation freely to everyone who would believe in him by faith to save them. So that instead of punishment, there would be reward. Instead of guilt, there would be pardon. Instead of slavery, there would be freedom. Instead of death, there would be life. Instead of hell, there would be heaven. Are you beginning to see the worth, the value of this treasure? The author William Faulkner wrote in As I Lay Dying, "People to whom sin is just a matter of words, to them salvation is just words too. It doesn't mean much if you don't understand your sinfulness. If you don't understand how hopeless you were, how far from God you were. But we're not just talking about mere words here. We're talking about love and action. We're talking about God's salvation. We're talking about the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. We're talking about an eternal kingdom. This truly is a treasure here. This truly is a pearl of great price. Can you place a value on your life? It's priceless. Can you place a value on your eternity? It's invaluable. Can you place a value on forgiveness? It's unfathomable. Can you place a value on being with God? It's incalculable. And this is what we've stumbled on in this field. This is what we found as we were searching for pearls. We found this priceless pearl. So what are we going to do with it? In the parable, we see that the value of the treasure. Secondly, we see the cost of the treasure. And the treasure is going to cost you everything. In verse 44, it says, "In his joy, he goes and he sells everything he has and he buys that field." In verse 46, it says, "When he found that priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." So in each of these stories, what was the cost? Everything. Everything. And Jesus is making a point. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's going to cost you everything. It's going to cost your entire life. You're not just going to give a piece of yourself. This is a valuable treasure. This is a pearl of great price. This salvation isn't just some as-seen-on-TV gimmick where you make two payments of $19.99 plus shipping and handling, right? But wait, there's more. It's not like that. This is far greater than that. It's like what Isaac Watts wrote in When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that old hymn. He says, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." This is worth everything that I have. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." He says, it's going to cost you your life. Those sins that you used to love so dearly, You're going to have to repent and turn from those. Those impure thoughts, you're going to have to leave those behind as the Lord renews your mind. That old way of speech, you're going to abandon for kind and uplifting language. For some, it's going to cost them their families. I think about brothers and sisters who live in persecuted countries. When they decide to follow after Christ, they know that it will mean rejection by their families. For some, it's going to cost them opportunities. We have brothers and sisters who know that they're going to be ostracized because of their faith. For some, it's going to cost them their pride. It'll come as a shock to everyone who believes that you're a Christian already. And you know in your heart that you need to repent and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you're too big to swallow your pride and to admit it and profess it before men. It's going to cost you. Notice what Jesus has been telling the people as his ministry has progressed. If you flip back a few pages in Matthew's gospel, back to Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and following, this is what Jesus said. A scribe approached him and said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus told him, "Foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." "Lord," another of his disciples said, "first, let me go bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." He's saying to them, it's going to cost you your security. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you maybe even your family. If you flip over to Matthew chapter 9, verse 11. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Down in verse 14, John's disciples came to him saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast?" What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you some little bit of interrogation. It's going to cost you a little bit of maybe misunderstanding about the Lord and what you're doing with your life. If you go down to Matthew chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus says, "Beware of them, because they'll hand you over to local courts and flog you in their synagogues. You'll even be brought before governors and kings because of me to bear witness to them and to the Gentiles." Jesus told these disciples, it's going to cost you some persecution. I mean, Jesus has been dropping these hints about what it's going to cost to follow after him and to be part of his kingdom all along. And then he begins to tell them these stories, these parables, to explain to them what his kingdom is like. And here he tells them, it's going to cost you. And the people are beginning to wonder, is he being serious here? Is it really going to cost us this to follow after him? You ask, well, what did his disciples do? They left their nets and they followed after him. They left the tax collector's booth. And they followed after him. They gave everything to be a part of Jesus' kingdom. And when all these great crowds began to follow after him, Jesus made it clear to them what it would be like for them to follow him. And in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now to Jesus' audience, when they hear these words, "Bear your own cross," it only meant one thing. A cross was meant to kill somebody. And so when he says to them, "You cannot be my disciple unless you're willing to bear your own cross," he says, "Are you going to be willing to die?" This week, many of your pastors and I spent time at the Southern Baptist Convention down in Birmingham, Alabama. And as we were there, one of the highlights of the week, is one of my favorite parts of being at the convention, is the commissioning of our International Mission Board missionaries. And we had, I think, 26 missionaries that were sent out this week from our churches to go to the nations with the gospel. And as they were there, they would stand up in front of the microphone and they would say, "You know, I'm Jim and I'm Melanie and we're going to Spain to share the gospel in college campuses, and we're sent out from such and such a church," and everyone would be excited. But then you would come to some of the folks, and they would be in the back of the stage with no spotlight on them, in the dark, because they were going to places where they couldn't be known, where they had to wonder about security and persecution. And they would say, I'm Tom and I'm, you know, Susan, and we're going to Central Asia. We're going to Southeast Asia. We're going to North Africa to spread the gospel among unreached people groups. And as you consider the weight of that, these people that were standing in the dark, faceless because of security, you're overwhelmed. I mean, everyone in the arena was weeping as we were sending them out to boldly proclaim that they would leave everything to go and follow God's call in their lives. This is what Jesus is talking about. On the other hand, you had those who stumbled upon this treasure in the field and they decided to walk away. They didn't see it for what it is. They didn't understand the value, the worth, how it would change their life, how it changed their eternity. I think about the rich young ruler that Jesus interacted with in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 21. Jesus says to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And when the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Jesus offered him a treasure, and he didn't think that it was worth it. There are countless other rich young rulers who have come near to the kingdom of God and have turned away. I think about Paul when he was standing before King Agrippa, and he shares his testimony, shares the gospel with him there. And he says in Acts 26, 28, are you going to persuade me to become a Christian so easily? Some translation says, almost you've persuaded me to become a Christian. Maybe you've rejected this salvation before, and today it's being offered to you one more time. So what each of us has to decide is this: is the value worth the cost? Is what I'm getting worth what I'm giving up? Just a few weeks ago, we had Vacation Bible School here at Wallace, and I have the privilege during the middle of the week to share the gospel with all the children that are there. And they're all gathered right here in the sanctuary, and I stand up and I present in a very clear and simple way that children would comprehend. And so I'm sharing the gospel with them. The gospel is so simple and plain that even a child can receive it. But I don't want to do it in such a way that every kid goes, yeah, I'll raise my hand. I want candy, you know. So you wanna make it so that they understand a little bit of the weight of what it means to follow after Jesus. And so one of the ways that I do that is I ask them, as they close their eyes, if this is something that they want to do in their heart or something that they have more questions about or want to talk with someone about, that they would raise their hand. When everybody's heads are facing down, they would raise their hand. I can see the hands across the room, and I say, all right, that's good. And so I have them all open their eyes, and I say, now, if that's a decision that you want to make or you want to talk with someone else about it, I want you to stay put, and everybody in your class is going to leave. They're going to go to rec or snacks or wherever they're going to go, and you're going to stay behind here. And we'll sit and we'll talk with you and counsel with you and pray with you. And I do that because, you know, if a child is serious about making this decision, then they'll stay behind. You know, if Jesus isn't worth more than a snack at this point, then they haven't really understood the fullness of the gospel at this point. And so there's something that costs them a little bit. Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verse 28, which of you wanting to build a tower doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? It says, cost us something. Oftentimes in advertising, companies will use testimonials of satisfied customers. And so I'll give you mine today. I made the decision to sell everything I had and to buy the field when I was 18 years old. I had, you know, all the things of my life. I had all the sins that I liked. But when this treasure was presented to me on a Sunday night in church, I realized that it was worth far more than anything I could ever give. And I gave my whole life, repented of all of my sins, to follow after Jesus. And it's cost me. My life is not my own. I belong to Christ. Wherever he goes, I will go. Whatever he calls me to do, I will do. I am a slave to Christ. But I've not made any greater decision in my life than to follow after him, to purchase this field, to find this treasure, this pearl of great price. And the blessing of being set free from sin, the blessing of being forgiven of my wrongdoing is overwhelming. The blessings and the joy of walking with the Lord is amazing and incredible. For the Lord to speak to my heart through his word is just awesome. The journey of growth in my life, the journey of being able to serve him, is his plans for my life are more than I could have ever dreamed. The amazing wife and family and friends and church family that God has given to me, I don't deserve it. And he's worth all of it. That's why it says here in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and he reburied. And in his joy, he goes and he sells everything he has and buys the field. Do you notice that? He did it joyfully. How many of you would give away everything you had joyfully? He gave away everything in his joy. He was joyful, happy to sell everything for that field because he knew that the value was worth any cost. And so now, you come to your blockbuster moment. You stumbled upon the field. You found this priceless pearl. Are you going to buy that field today? Are you going to look back after you've passed from this life and realize that you missed out on the opportunity of a lifetime? You see, in the first story, this man wasn't really looking, but he found the treasure by accident. It says he stumbled upon it. He was surprised. In the second story, the man was looking, and he found the treasure in his search, in his hunt, and he was one that was searching. And for some of you today, the gospel may come as a surprise to you. This good news is something that you've never thought about, never considered. This is all new to you, and it sounds incredible, and I want you to know that it is incredible. And you just stumbled on this field today, and the Lord is offering to you this salvation. For others, you've been looking for something in your life. You knew that something was missing. You've been hunting and searching for meaning and for purpose and for what your life is all about. And today you have found it. It's this priceless pearl. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? In a moment, we're going to have a time of response. There are going to be leaders here across the front. And they're here to talk with you and to counsel you. If the Lord is calling you to salvation today, to repent of your sin and to put your faith in Jesus to forgive you and to follow him as the Lord and master of your life, then I want you to come and to share with one of them about what God is doing in your heart, to make that public profession of your faith today. Christians, as we consider this passage of Scripture, it ought to embolden us in sharing the gospel. A lot of times we are afraid to share the good news with people because we're afraid that we may offend them, that they might not like it, that we'd be a burden to them. We're not trying to give them garbage. We're giving them a priceless treasure. And so go and share it. Tell them about what you found. Tell them about how it's changed your life. And so maybe you want to spend time there at your seat or here at this altar praying for your one. We've been
We've been having that challenge since the beginning of the year to pray for the one person that you need to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you want to pray for them and commit to share with them this good news, this treasure that you have in your heart. But however God is speaking to you today, this is the time now for us to be doers of this word and not just hearers only. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed. God, we thank you today for your word. Lord, for these clear stories to teach us about your kingdom. And God, we're thankful that, Lord, that although we were far from you, that we don't deserve, Lord, forgiveness. We don't deserve eternal life, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us and to pay the price. That he was raised from the dead so that we could have this forgiveness, that we could have this salvation. Lord, that you have given us this treasure, this pearl of great price. And Lord, we're thankful that we are able to be called your children, part of your kingdom. And Lord, we just want to praise you for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I pray for those across this room that haven't received this gift in their heart. Lord, that today would be the day that they would come, turning from their sin and calling on Christ for salvation. Lord, as they've stumbled upon this treasure, Lord, as they've been searching and they found this pearl, Lord, I pray today that they would give everything they have to get it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you've heard your mission. You are now sent to Knoxville and the nations.
You have been listening to Connections from Wallace Memorial Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Heard every week at this time. We hope you've been inspired and challenged throughout this broadcast. If you would like to hear or see more of these messages, you will find them on the internet at www.wmbc.net or contact our broadcast ministry by calling 865-688-4343. Thank you again for listening to Connections, as we are seeking to love God, connect with people, and impact the world with the message of good news through Jesus Christ.